Lord, our God, we thank you, Lord, and come in your presence for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy and for your love for us. We reverence you as the Holy One who knew no sin, as we think of our beloved Son who came here, the one who shed his perfect and innocent blood for us. We just give thanks in that name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, we're in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We're looking to cover chapter 2 this week. Let's look here, as we've already seen in the first 10 verses, the different age groups and the behavior that is exhorted of us believers. And it brings us to a portion that ties in and exhorts us with the great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation doctrine, you might say. Verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." There we see salvation. And then we see verse 12, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously," "and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." So verse 11, we saw salvation, speaking of the grace of God. Verse 12, teaching us, and we see our behavior there. We see practical sanctification. And in 13, we see glorification, as we're looking for that blessed hope. So you could also say, verse 11, 12, 13, verse 11, past, for us that are saved, we have salvation, we've been saved. Verse 12, we see present, our walk as a believer. Verse 13, we see future, our glorification, and looking for the coming of Christ, because that's connected all together. So we see here, we could also say, verse 11 is our past salvation for we that are saved. Verse 12, we could make connection with our present salvation of yielding the Spirit of God and how He saves us from the power of sin today. And in verse 13, we see our future salvation as we will be in His presence. So it's real interesting how you can break down these three verses. Verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Let's turn back to Titus. Pick up at chapter 2. Let's just look at a few verses here. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now, we see here that He is desirous that all men should be saved. Yet we know that the teaching of the Word of God tells us, if we rightly divide the Word of truth, although He desires that all are to be saved, that there are ones that will reject Him. He says that one day He'll say this to those, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you." Let's also consider over there in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "But the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So we see here again, the Lord is not willing. He doesn't desire for any soul to spiritually perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will everybody repent? No. But yet the Scripture says, one day every knee shall bow, whether in heaven, whether on earth, or whether under the earth, and confess that He is Lord. So I would exhort you today, as verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Yes, it has appeared to you, and you have the opportunity, and He is long-suffering, and He is willing that you would be saved. He wants you, He is desirous of you to be saved. But yet, the Lord makes it clear that you must repent. God is sovereign, but yet the responsibility to repent is laid before us. We cannot do anything to gain our salvation, to earn our salvation, but we must simply yield to Him and say, it's all in your hands. I am a sinner, and I need to be saved by your work and your sacrifice upon that cross. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only payment that's sufficient for my salvation. That's not doing anything for your salvation. That's just simply yielding to what has already been done. We cannot earn salvation on our own account, our own merit. But yet this grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared to all men. It is there before us if we are willing to accept it. Verse 12 goes on to say a little bit about our present walk, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So yes, we do see here that there is a need for teaching the believer, as it says here in verse 12, teaching us, there's a need for us believers to be taught a godly scriptural walk, that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should flee from the very appearance of evil. These things that we should do, it says, is to live discreetly or soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is where we are. We're pilgrims and strangers. This is not our home, but yet this is where the Lord, until He is through with us, His followers, His saints, His believers, until He deems ready to bring us unto Himself, into His very presence, either by death or if we're here when the rapture occurs. We are here in this present world. So we do need instruction on how to conduct ourselves, as we saw earlier in this very same chapter, that we should have sound speech and sound behavior while we're in this present world. One day, as in verse 13, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin, and we won't be looking as we are today to be yielding to the Spirit of God in the sense of how we are today. In verse 13, we realize then we'll be in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sealed, or the Spirit of God has sealed us unto the day of redemption. One day we will not be in that role of yielding the Spirit because we will be in the very presence of Him. We'll have glorified bodies at that point. We will not have any sin, you might say, on the outward that's challenging us and tempting us. We'll be in the very presence of Him. 1 John 2 tells us of how one day we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Chapter 2 of Titus here in verse 12 and verse 13 has a tremendous difference. Now, there's the need for teaching that we live godly. But in verse 13, the future tells us that as we're looking for that blessed hope, we can think then of how we'll be away from the very presence of sin. We'll be in His presence with glorified bodies, all of us who know Christ is our Lord and Savior. Verse 13, again, looking for that blessed hope. So we think there of the coming of the Lord for His saints. And then in the rest of verse 13, it says, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There, I believe what we have here is the second part of the second coming, you might say. That's when He comes not for His saints, but when He comes with His saints. There is a distinction made in the Word of God. You can turn to different places. I think of one time in the Psalms, and I believe it's clear that there are times when there is the time of the second coming. The part of the rapture is when He comes for His saints, and then when He comes with His saints is when He comes and puts His feet upon the Mount Olive, and we see there where He will establish His kingdom, the 1,000-year reign, which will be after the tribulation time. But before the tribulation, He comes for His saints in the clouds. After the tribulation, He comes with His saints and puts His feet upon the mount. Clear distinction.
But where are we now? We are looking for that blessed hope. You know, one of the crowns that the believer has that we could receive, that we could cast back at the feet of the Lord Jesus one day, is those of us who are not just looking and listening, but those of us who are loving His appearance. To love His appearance means that verse 12 would be applied in our lives, that we're living a godly life, and we are anticipating with joy this blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. And also, may we add in the other passages, we should be loving His appearance. I would ask you today, as a believer, are you looking and loving His appearance? Are you steadfastly anticipating that He could come at any moment? The Lord knows when it's His appointed time. But yet, are we waiting with great anticipation, looking and listening for that shout, looking to be with Him, and loving His appearing? What a blessed thought that is, isn't it? But I would say again, I would address any of you listening that know not Christ as your Savior. These are things that only the believer can have joy in. It would be something dreadful for the Lord to come if you know not Christ. He came today. For then you would find yourself going into a time of great havoc, a time of great deception with the Antichrist. And then, even worse than that, if you were not turned to Christ as your Savior, there is a time appointed for those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they will be cast into eternal lake of fire. As we said in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The opportunity is there. Will you turn to Christ as your Savior? This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe as we are here with the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. And we are glad to come to you each weekday from 1 to 1:15. If you have any comments or questions, as each week we change different themes and a different brother is speaking, we'll take the whole week with one theme. As next week we'll go to another brother with another chapter or another theme. And we'll continue to rotate between the three of us, Lord willing. But if you'd like to write us with a comment or question, write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramseur, North Carolina. If you'd like to just say we're listening, we wanted to drop you a note, that'd be great too. Also, if you'd like to call us with any questions or comments, this week the phone number is 824-5525. Thank you, and have a good day.